few days before that, I was in bed with a bad, I suppose, flu and whatever else it was. I was thinking, oh God, we don't want this. I'm supposed to be talking about your miracles. Here I am in bed. And even though I had a bit of a croaky voice and still got a little bit of a croaky voice, I realized that God's power is not limited by my croaky voice. One thing the Apostle Paul said was when he had this problem in his life, he was praying and God said, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect through weakness. And Paul said, I will boast about my weaknesses so that Christ's power will rest on me. So I think, you know, no matter what problems we go through in life, it's actually to help us to trust in God, that the mighty power comes from God. And Paul went through all kinds of persecution problems, shipwrecks, beatings, terrible disasters. So many times he despaired of his life. He thought he was going to die. But he said, I will boast about these weaknesses so that Christ's power will rest on me. Do you want the power of Jesus resting on you? So it's to help us not to trust in our own strength. You know, we're not like the world that, oh, we're so powerful because we're rich and because we've got these possessions. That means nothing in the kingdom of God. You get more of God's power when you're weak. So we want God's power to be upon us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Lord, I just thank you for this, even coming here. I want to release a blessing. Lord, I want to release a part of what Vijay was saying, praying for more anointing in this place. Lord, I believe for that. Lord, this place is a place of revival. This place is a place of your power. Lord, this is a light for this community. Lord, we just ask, Lord, let the power of God come and fill this place, Lord. Strengthen these prayer meetings. And Lord, let the anointing come even right now. Come, Lord Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. My scripture comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. And these are the words of the Apostle Paul. And in his letters, he has many prayers that he's praying for the believers. And this is one of his prayers, Ephesians chapter 1, 18 to 20. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. So we see that he was praying that they will get spiritual revelation, that the eyes of their hearts will be opened to see that the same power that rose Jesus from the dead is at work in those who believe. Do you want that same power working in your life? I do. The resurrection power of Jesus Christ. You know, I believe in God's power because I've had so many little miracles. I've had so many problems as well. But I've had so many miracles. So I'm weak, but I let God's power rest on me. And I want to share with you some of those stories today. I'm blessed that both of my parents became Christians just before they met each other. They became Christians when they were about 20 years old, met each other as new on fire Christians, got married and wanted to go to the mission field. So they went to the Philippines as missionaries. But there, my mother got very sick. And she went to the doctor because all the time she was feeling unwell. And the doctor gave her these tablets that she was actually allergic to, so she swelled up with all these red lumps. And the doctor there said to her, "You've got cancer and you'll never be able to have children." And of course, that's the last thing that a newly married missionary wife wants to hear. You've got cancer and you'll never be able to have children. Suffering on the mission field, very sick, swelling up, everything's going wrong. So what could they do? They gathered the Christians around to pray for them. The good news was that I was the answer to that prayer. So my mother got pregnant with me. So even though she was still sick, she came back to New Zealand because of that. My mother's still alive today. She's strong. She's healthy. You know, sometimes the doctor gives us bad news. But we have a bigger doctor. And we have a God who answers prayer. So I was thinking, what a blessing I had. I was an answer to prayer. Praise God. So I was brought up in a family where God's love was in our family. And then I have a sister, two younger brothers. They're all having families of their own now and having small children. One brother in Auckland, one brother up north in Whangarei, and my sister's family in Australia. And we're all following Jesus because God's love was in our family. And God was real. His presence was there. It's like you're wanting God's anointing and presence here, but we also want it when we go out there. We also want it in your family. We want God's love, His power, His presence to be in your family. Now, I went through certain difficulties and problems as a teenager, but I had a major breakthrough when I was 16 years old. And it was because of a Christian youth camp up north at Marsden Point, where the oil refinery is. And my parents encouraged me to go to that youth camp. I didn't want to go because we were new. We had just shifted to Whangarei. My father had been a cow farmer. He sold his herd of cows. He sold the farm. We shifted into the city. They were going to a new church. And I just, I don't know these youth. They're new people. But they're my parents encouraged me, no, you need to get to know them, you need to break through. That's why we have to encourage people, come, keep coming, build friendships, build relationships. This is a Christian family, we're a body of Christ, and sometimes it's difficult, but you've got to keep reaching out, saying hello, and meeting, and greeting, and maybe I was a bit, you know, a quiet teenager, sit at the back. You don't want to say hello to other people. So my parents encouraged me, come on, just go there. And I'm so glad they encouraged me because that was the major turning point in my life. A man was sharing his testimony. He was actually from Hillsong. He was one of the Hillsong youth pastors. And he had a powerful testimony. God had saved him out of alcohol, drug backgrounds. God's power had touched him. And a move of God was taking place in our youth group. And God's hand just came upon me. And actually, when I was prayed for, it was just like warmth and power, electricity. The Holy Spirit power just went through me like a wave. And I was amazed because we had actually been brought up in a little Methodist church that you hear about the Holy Spirit, but you don't know Him personally. So it wasn't until this happened, I suddenly realized that just as you can know the Father, just as you can know Jesus, you can also know the Holy Spirit. It opened up a whole new dimension to me. And really that is what released me into Acts chapter 1 verse 8, where Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you." And for what purpose? Jesus said, "It's so that you will be my witnesses." So that's when I received the calling, or let's say was released or anointed for the calling to be a missionary and evangelist. And straight away I got into doing street evangelism and nightclub evangelism. I'm actually just in the process of printing a book about it. It's called To Live or To Die. And it's the second book I'm printing in America. And I have to also release it in New Zealand, because it's all stories about people in New Zealand who either got saved. Not everyone got saved, of course. There's also tragedies. But it's an incredible story, just showing the work of God in New Zealand, saving people, saving hardened people. And what I found is that you have to have a lot of perseverance, especially with sharing the gospel with Europeans, the white man. They can not want to listen to you, so you have to persevere, and you have to not give up because they tell you they don't want anything to do with your religion. No, you have to have a strength. And that's why the Holy Spirit gives us power and confidence. So my encouragement to you is witness for Jesus as much as you can to the people who don't want to listen to you. Just be filled with joy. Because Jesus said, rejoice when people persecute you for his name's sake. So we have to see things from God's perspective, not our own perspective. You know, it's so discouraging when you try to share the gospel with people and they don't want to listen. But that's earthly perspective. That's not the heavenly perspective. You've got to see the smile on God's face. And you've got to see that maybe 10 or 15 years later, they will be saved. So I have many stories of maybe possibly up to 30, 40 people that I witnessed to that were hardened unbelievers, and it looked like I was getting nowhere, but 10, 15 years later, they're saved. So that's the situation in New Zealand. It's hard work. We have to do the hard work. So I loved what you were saying about even doing leaflets and letterboxes, door knocking, or going into Henderson. I would just say, do all of those things. The Holy Spirit wants to give us power to be witnesses for Jesus Christ, because heaven is so wonderful, hell is so terrible. There is a devil. There is a horrible, terrible, horrible force of evil. Like what you were mentioning, all these humans fighting and killing one another. And when you see how terrible the force of evil in this world really is, you can see why the true hope and the true light has to shine through us. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. There's so many people on the earth today. It's such a big job that we need in this generation. It's the biggest work of God we need in the world is today, because of the size of the population. We need a massive move of God. So we need to pray. Come to the prayer meetings. Come, let's believe. Breakthrough this community. You're in this community for a special call of God. The high call of God is on your life. You know, I'd like to say to every person here, you're special. The body of Christ needs you. The body of Christ needs your prayers. The body of Christ needs your testimony. the work of Jesus in your heart. You are special. You are a special call by the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Every person that Jesus called, he called for a special purpose. When he called his 12 apostles, come follow me, what an amazing calling that was. Now there's no difference to any of us, okay? There's difference in time and circumstances and all that, but it's the same Jesus has called you as called the Apostle Paul. The same Jesus has called you as called many of the famous people in the Bible. They were humans, just like us. It says that Elijah, he was a man, just like us. But he prayed earnestly. He got to that point of breakthrough in prayer. You see, some of the most incredible miracles were at the end of his life. Even being caught up to heaven the way he was, fire of God operating. But he had that life of prayer. And what God did through his life was incredible. Remember, every day we are storing treasures in heaven. If we are true believers in Jesus Christ, what those treasures are beyond words. They're beyond our human minds. They're so great. They're so incredible. They're so wonderful. But we are warned, let no one take your crown. The devil doesn't want you to have a good reward in heaven. But Jesus Christ says, yes, I'm preparing a place for you. We only have such a short life on this earth compared to eternity. So that's why don't we live for God wholeheartedly? Why don't we win this spiritual battle for the nation of New Zealand? It seems like every time I was doing missionary trips, coming back to New Zealand, it's like every time I came back, it was like feeling that New Zealand's going deeper into darkness. New Zealand's going deeper into sin. But God has given a promise that when the enemy or when the devil comes in like a flood, he will raise up his standards. We see it with the nation of Israel. They went through much backsliding, but God was preparing his servants. And at times he raised up powerful judges. At times he raised up powerful prophets. He raised up deliverers for the kingdom of God. We have to believe that for New Zealand. We have to have the cry in our hearts, God, enough is enough. We've seen the sin being promoted in this nation. Time for you to arise, Lord God. Arise a Moses who can confront the Pharaoh. And Moses had the mighty power of God to break that witchcraft powers that Pharaoh's magicians were operating in, to show the greater power of God. So we want to show the greater power of Jesus Christ in this nation. So we need a mighty, powerful move of God. So let's believe for that. I want to just mention basically Jesus Christ being the healer, Jesus being the deliverer, Jesus being a baptizer in the Holy Spirit. I had just a little healing of my own, which was quite nice. It's nice when God heals you. What happened was that I had a lump growing in my ear. It wasn't bothering me, so I was in no hurry. Just the weeks ticked by, a couple of months ticked by, and then it was still growing bigger. So after some time, I thought, well, I realized I better go to the doctor just to check it out. I don't want it just to keep growing bigger and bigger. Anyway, the doctor said to me, I'll have to cut it out. That didn't sound too exciting. But he said, it's not too urgent, so it doesn't have to be tomorrow. but in the near future, we'll cut it out. Okay, at that point of time, I was having to then go and work with a certain church way up north in a small town called Kaikohe. So I went there to help work with a church there. And I suddenly began to get like a fever. And then I saw that there was all these red spots on my stomach. And they were quite large spots. Had no idea what they were. And at that point of time, there was another ministry team that actually came from Auckland and was going up north to do a children's program. So I said to the leader of that team, "Can you pray for me?" He was just a young evangelist. This was actually when I was still a teenager, and he was probably a teenager too. Maybe we were 19 or 20 years old. Young evangelists on fire for Jesus. So he prayed so earnestly. And then he said to me, "How do you feel? How do you feel?" I didn't feel anything. Actually, I still felt terrible. But I didn't want to say to him, "I feel terrible." So I just said, "Oh, thank you for the prayer." And just went my way. Okay, that night I went to sleep. And then when I woke up in the morning, it was still dark. I just put my finger in my ear. Ooh, the lump's gone. Then I thought, "Oh, I better have a look at my stomach. Ooh, the spots have all gone and my fever's gone." So when I next saw him that morning, I told him, "I'm healed. Praise God." Very interesting. It happened through the night. So, you know, when we pray for people, we certainly want them to feel better immediately, but often it doesn't happen. And it can be encouraging if they say, "Oh, you prayed for me. I feel worse now that you've prayed for me." I remember my mother saying that, because it seems when she was newly married to my father, she was always getting sick, and she would always ask my father to pray for her. He would pray for her. "How do you feel?" She would say, "Oh, I'm feeling worse now." But then she realized that a short time after that she was healed. So that's the greatness of God. So sometimes I don't like to ask people, "How do you feel?" after I pray for them. But God's healing power comes on people in Jesus Christ's mighty name. Jesus Christ, the healing, he's the one who's paid the price for it. He's the healer. And it's just, I see there's so many healing promises in the Bible. You know, it's interesting how we have to somehow take the words that are the promises in that are in the Bible and release them through faith. Release them through sometimes a spiritual battle, sometimes a struggle to get hold of God's inheritance. But it's our inheritance. Miracles are the Christian's inheritance. Healings, deliverance, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it belongs to us. That doesn't mean it comes easy. It means it comes through a spiritual battle. The same thing happened with Israel. God gave them the promised land, but he left all the enemies and the giants and the obstacles, strongholds, temptations, testings. Because God had to test his people. So God gave the promise, but there was still a big, let's say, to inherit the promise, there was still a big, it took obedience and faithfulness. But often they backslid. If you look at Christianity through the last 2,000 years, you see a lot of backsliding, a lot of falling. The very same thing that's happened to Israel has happened to the church. Often we read the Old Testament and we think, how was Israel so unfaithful to God? And then we can study church history and the same thing has happened with the church. But God always had his faithful people in Israel. And God's always had his faithful people in the church. And it's as if God has left his enemies so that we don't backslide. Well, if we've got spiritual discernment, if we become spiritually blind, we just drift and drift like Israel did. But if we've got spiritual discernment, we see that the battle we're in to lay hold of God's promises. So it's a battle, but I just see, you know, we need a greater healing revival in New Zealand once again. New Zealand is very blessed. Because I do evangelism and I do a lot through the internet as well, I get to know certain Christians, and I'm thinking of some friends I have in Spain. They're telling me about the state of the church in Spain, and I'm telling them some of the things that are happening in the churches in New Zealand. They're thinking, oh, I wish we had that here in Spain. And I was telling them, because I was going to some Bill Sobrinski healing seminar, and there's another evangelist called Weston Carrier. And in the early 1990s, there was you've probably not heard of him, he was a Scottish evangelist called Tony Walker. We used to do crusades with him all the time. And God's miracles, so many miracles have happened in New Zealand. New Zealand's a blessed country, even though that there's still so much darkness, and the people of the world don't know about what God has done. But God has done great things in this country. So even some of the European Christians, they're jealous of the blessings of God that are happening in New Zealand. Now, we need it 100 times bigger, or 1,000 times bigger. Imagine what God can do through this country if we fully, wholeheartedly turn to Him. So yes, we want to be that people. I kind of want to be the person who loves God the most. I was doing missionary work in Africa. I was in Ghana, and it's such a God-fearing country in many ways. And my vision was, well, if the Africans are going to follow Jesus the best, hallelujah, let's make Ghana the strongest Christian nation of the world. And then I went to other countries God was working on, and the same vision was for that country and that country. It's going to take a lot of work to make New Zealand the strongest Christian nation in the world, but it can happen. It can start with us getting on fire for Jesus, laying hold of His promises, healing promises. Okay, His delivering promises. Jesus, He made the demons tremble, and they had to flee in Jesus' name. Now, I remember having a dream. And in this dream, I was basically casting out demons. And with one person, I was just holding my hand out, and all these demons were coming out of the person. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, this is easy. I don't have to do much. God just does it all. Praise God. And then I realized that's the truth. We have to be a vessel that the Holy Spirit flows through. Really, we can't do it. It's the Holy Spirit doing it through us, but by faith. We have to have faith in Jesus. So, you know, just holding your hand up means nothing unless God is doing something through your hand. So it's faith in Jesus Christ. He has authority. He has power. Jesus has authority over the devil, but He needs people who are believing Him, trusting Him, accepting Him. And Lord God, Your power is with us. That same power that rose Jesus from the dead. Power of the Holy Spirit, do the work. I want to be a vessel. God, use me. God, minister Your power through me. Flow through me. So by faith, I yield my heart to God. I'm looking to God when I pray for the person. Because in one sense, I had nothing. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So it's by God's grace when He uses us. So sometimes we have to not be proud and think, oh, God's doing great things through me because of who I am. No, it's only our faith is in Jesus. He is the deliverer. He is the Savior. Arise and move through me. And when I went to Africa that time, incredible deliverances happened. So it's like God just gave me that dream just to encourage me. Now, I just finally want to mention about Jesus Christ being the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Simple three aspects of Jesus' ministry: the healer, deliverer, and the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. When I was working in Ghana, I actually had a group of Muslims, small group, Muslims who became Christians. I've actually written a book based on that called Muslims Touched by the Love of Jesus. You can read that and many other things on my website. If you have internet person, you want to have a look, evangelistmatthew.com. So I had this group of Muslims who wanted to become Christians, and it was basically through dreams. They had dreams, and you've probably heard that there's been many who have. God has spoken to them through dreams, called them and saved them. I was taking this person through, one of these Muslim people, through the book of Acts. Every morning, Monday to Friday, we would have a Bible study. I was just going chapter and chapter through the book of Acts. And I did that for the whole year. And of course, the putting it into practice is that he needed to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I had written a special study. We took him through the scriptures, and then we made a day. We're going to meet. And that day he actually brought his friends along. So we went outside, and there was a nice tree, and we were sitting there. This is the day to pray. So I just shared a few more things about receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I said, now it's time to pray for you. Then one of them said, oh, don't you think we should go into the house? Because so many neighbors around here, what are they going to think if they hear a lot of noise? I said, let them watch. Let them see. We want them to hear the noise. Let's pray here. This is the perfect place. It sort of had houses right around the tree. So anyway, we prayed, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he started speaking in tongues, and we were so happy. So we decided we have to keep praying for everyone. So we keep praying for one another and speaking blessing on each other. Okay, a short bit time later, another Muslim person got saved. Quite a key Muslim, actually. His father was the Muslim priest, and he himself would have become that, but he got saved. Powerful thing happened. So he was coming to our group, and someone else had told him about the Holy Spirit baptism, so he said, yes, I want it. I want to receive the Holy Spirit. So I thought, oh, good. I've already got my Bible study ready, which I'd taken my other friend through. I'll take you through the same Bible study. Come to my room. And we made a certain morning, and both of them came. And just as I was about to take the Bible study, I suddenly felt like there's a brick wall there. I can't take it. It was like I was reading it, and it was just like every word was hindering. I can't do it. So I said to God, why? God said to me, just pray for him now. He's ready. He doesn't need your Bible study. So I just prayed for him right then, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he started speaking in tongues immediately. He didn't need my Bible study. Jesus was ready. His heart was ready, so God touched him. So that's the presence of God. You know, some people sometimes, they need more knowledge of the Bible to put their faith on the scriptures, especially if they've come from a church that says, oh no, that's not for today, and maybe they're bound in tradition, and they've put a stronghold in persons' lives because of doubt. They're saying, oh no, that's not of God today. And these kind of hindrances can stop people from receiving. So in that case, you need to go back to the Bible verses. This is on the power of speaking in tongues. What does the Bible really say? And maybe if you've been prayed before, and, oh, I got prayed for, but nothing happened. It's too hard. What do? You go back to the Bible. You go back to the Bible scriptures. You base your faith on the word of God. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than all of you, saying to the Corinthian church, which was moving in the gifts. Now with other people, they're just ready to receive. So you just say, receive the Holy Spirit. Okay, if the musicians would like to come now. But we are going to have an opportunity for prayer. And anyone who needs prayer in these three areas, maybe you need a healing prayer, and we look to Jesus Christ as the healer. Maybe you have a sore knee or heart problem or eye problem. Let's look to Jesus to release his healing power. Jesus is the healer. There's power in his name. The power flowed out of him. People wanted to touch him. That power of the Holy Spirit is here today. Then maybe you need deliverance prayer. You know, sometimes God puts his finger on things that have happened in our lives that have actually given footholds for the devil. And we don't remember it because it happened a long time ago. Well, of course, we remember when God speaks to us about it. But it's a stronghold that needs to be broken. I just think of a friend who, a man of God, prayed for him, and he suddenly rebuked the spirit of Freemasonry. He hadn't been a Freemason, but his ancestors had been. And there was still a bondage there. But he had been a good Christian evangelist for many years, but it was just like at that time God put his finger on a stronghold, a curse, and God broke it. So we never know what God can do, but if we're being under a spirit of fear, if we know there's something not of God driving us, nightmares, who knows, there are many things that can be signs that we're under a spiritual attack. And when we come into the anointing of the Holy Spirit, God's power can break that. So if you also think you need deliverance prayer, maybe something's driving you, compelling you on the wrong path, maybe you are under spiritual attack, know the authority of Jesus Christ. We will speak the word of his authority over you. Curses be broken in Jesus' name. Then finally, prayer for the baptism with the Holy Spirit. If you've never received the gift of speaking in tongues, let's ask Jesus to release that to you today. Let's seek him. The Bible says, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. I want this blessing of God. Maybe you've prayed in tongues before, but you need a greater release. I realize that there's also 9 spiritual gifts. In the church that I went to, it was always speaking in tongues. And it was like, if you speak in tongues, you've made it. But they also didn't keep challenging. You need other gifts. You need other gifts. You need prophecy, wisdom. Maybe there's a gift, spiritual gift, that you can seek God for today. Maybe you yourself want a more release of healing or discernment of spirits, faith, gift of faith. God can impart these spiritual gifts today. So even as we just have a song, I'm reminded of when King David played his song for Saul, the demon fled, the anointing just falls. So we'll just have a moment of singing, and then if you have a prayer request, just begin to come forward as the anointing of God builds.